Welcome to the Hollywood Outsider, an award-winning weekly entertainment podcast. On this episode, it's time to get real about love. Are romantic comedies dead? Also, reviews of Love Hurts and Hard Eyes at the end. Let's get on with the show. My name is Aaron Peterson. Joining me today, my fellow host, Amanda Sink.
Oh my God, I wasn't prepared to be at the beginning. Hello, hello.
I switched it. Troy Heinrichs.
Hi.
Easy. Whoa. Got to be careful in these elements when you say it like that. Just saying.
Oh.
Now you get to be ho-ho.
Lo-lo, ho-ho.
All right. You remember, you can always find more information at thehollywoodoutsider.com. Join us on our Facebook group, or we're on X at Bob Popcorn, wherever social media is. We have our page as well. You know, this episode is really, we're talking about love. We're talking all about love.
All about love. You know what we should actually give a shout out to?
What?
Every person on this episode's significant other for dealing with podcast recording and Aaron's edit time and all of those things.
I mean,
they're supporters, Aaron. They're supporters.
Are they listening to every episode? Are they really supporting it? You know what I mean?
I feel like actually your wife does listen and gives you feedback and tells you you're being too mean, or,
well, that's very hurtful.
I'm talking too
it's
much.
Quite an assumption.
Or Troy doesn't have emotions. Or John's not prepared.
You're feeding a lot. Kidding. You're feeding a lot into this.
I'm just kidding.
That I don't think is there.
I was just trying to say a nice little shout out.
Thank you. You know what? We should do that for all significant others of podcast hosts across the world.
Truly.
You know, they're supporting while their significant other is somewhere else talking to everyone but them.
And banning use of the internet because you're not messing up my stream.
You don't have to do that as much anymore. That was like that's a thing back in the old days when we first started podcasting. You literally had to tell people, don't watch Netflix when you're recording, because it would dilute the bandwidth quite a bit. It's not really a problem.
Almost like dial-up. It'd turn into like dial-up.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Hey, don't clog the internet.
Unless you pay for that fancy stuff.
More importantly, don't pick up the phone when I'm downloading a file.
Oh, man. No, we want to talk about love because romantic comedies is a genre that used to run the world, right? I mean, it was probably one of the major attractions at movie theaters. And now, I mean, yes, I guess Hallmark puts out one a week, allegedly. There's a ton of them at Christmas on Netflix. Overall, in the movie theaters and whatnot, there's really not many of them. And in terms of anywhere, streaming or otherwise, there's not many good ones, I would say, right? That's a fair assessment.
Especially the ones on Netflix, but I've still watched a handful of them.
Okay. And plus,
what is like a recent rom-com? I mean, you're talking like It Ends With Us?
Anyone But You was a big hit.
Yeah, that was a good one.
I wouldn't call We Live in Time a rom-com.
And, no, I wouldn't
it's
either.
It's a romantic movie, but it's not a rom-com.
That's what I'm saying. That's what the question. Are they dead? Are romantic comedies dead? Let's just jump into the topic. What the hell? We're already here. Boom. So before we get into that, are they dead? I want to talk about the modern age of swiping, hookups, post-COVID, all that stuff. Like, do you think it's affected romantic comedies forever? Like, what is really romantic comedy in today's world?
Oh, you're saying like romance is dead just because I can go from one bed to another that easily.
I mean, that does kind of... not you personally, you know.
No.
You go ahead, play it. But I'm just saying, like, in terms of overall, yeah. I mean, I think the romance of the world has been diluted. Do we not think that?
Yeah. Like, there's no more wooing. There's no more, like, you know, three dates before you have sex. There's all those old rules.
It's friends with benefits that don't ever commit and then just figure life out together.
You don't even pick up a
check.
Weird
situations like that.
You just, you know, scan it. Everything's different.
Mm-hmm.
Like old man yells at cloud.
I still pick up the check. I got to pick up that toast thing that you're holding in a Yeah, it's a brick. You got to pick it up and move it over so you can like hide the tip that you want to put into the waitress, you know?
To put into the waitress?
Is it? Whoa. Tiger Woods. Easy.
Tiger Woods.
My day's not going so well. Hey, do you want to hook up in the back room after this? Here's $100.
Am I wrong, though? Like, that is, the world has changed in that respect, has it not? I mean, Amanda, like, chivalry, she's in a much younger generation. Chivalry is dead? I don't think chivalry, I've still opened car doors and doors.
Yeah, but you're older. He's saying for younger generations.
Is it?
That's not the thing. It's not the expectation anymore, for sure. You're going above and beyond now for these generations if you do stuff like that. Also, some women don't, that are younger, don't like it. They want to be independent and take care of their own. And that has definitely changed. That's changed a lot. But does, I don't think that means you can't still have good romantic comedies, even the ones that do focus on chivalry, because there's still a very large audience generationally that is driven and loves to see that. But if you want to try to tap into more of a modernized rom-com, then yeah, that's where you get into more of the friends with benefits movies, or, you know, the best friendships that end up, you know, like I said, just end up together and figure things out or whatever. Like, those situationships are much more common now because people are less committal. Their expectations and standards, you know, truthfully are higher or different than other generations have. And it's not always, you know, fight to fix it. It's, well, if this is, I'm not going to change. So if this isn't what it's going to be, then sayonara. That's a very different, this is my interpretation of younger generation love. So I think you just I think you just have to determine who you want your audience to be for the rom-com.
Is chivalry really dead, though, for your, for that generation, do you think? Like,
yes.
Is it?
It's embarrassing.
Like, if you look, this is literally the definition. The combination of qualities, especially courage, honor, courtesy, justice, and a readiness to help the weak. How are any of those bad things?
They're not. I don't want to have to open the door if someone else is going to do it. Just like I will open the door for someone else.
That's the bare minimum. Jesus.
No, it's not.
The bare minimum is walking them to the car so you can open the door for them.
No, the expectation is not to open the door even.
So they've got a backpack and a coffee and you just go, see ya. Good luck. Let them take a chance.
They might walk them to the car, give them a hug, and see you later.
While they have a backpack.
Drive safe. Text me when you get home.
Text me when you get home. Don't even call, right?
Text me when you get home. Yeah.
You never talk on the phone. No.
Well, I'm with him on that one. Like, I don't care what age that is. I don't like talking on the phone. I don't. So I'm okay.
If you're going to talk on the phone, then you go voice chat. The only time you talk on the phone is when you're both driving in the car together, or like not together, but like one person's driving in the car.
So weird.
This is so true. Whenever I call my mom, she always first thing she asks, I assume you're in the car. That's the only time I call. Oh, I'm terrible.
That's when you talk to people on the phone, is in the car, because you're not able to text. Otherwise you would text or you would video chat.
It's really to save time, if I'm being honest. I'm trying to optimize my time.
Yeah, that's why I do it too.
Not talk on the phone?
Or no, optimize call.
Your time because you're in the car.
Yeah, you're already in the car. You're already losing that 20, 30 minutes of time. So you might as well, instead of listening to a podcast or listening to music, just give somebody a buzz. Hey, how you doing? Just
thinking saying about you. Hi.
Yeah.
By the way, are we making out tonight? Because friends with benefits.
I mean, do you think the swiping thing killed romance? I mean, that's how people date now, right? You have to swipe right, swipe left.
You date now by paying $5,000 in order to have the ability to swipe left or swipe right.
What is $5,000? Is it like a robot?
What are you talking about?
Dating apps are like a crook. Like, the amount of money you have to spend on dating apps for dating apps to actually work.
How so? Oh,
for it to be successful.
Explain.
Because like, algorithms are like not meant to match. It's meant to keep you swiping.
Help me understand. I haven't dated in a long time.
If someone from my friend who's been like spending a lot of money on the dating apps, not me, but from a friend of mine,
like my friend,
you have
to wink. My friend, wife, wink, wink.
You have to pay, like, so someone likes you, right? You have to pay money to see who likes you, or you have to randomly match with them in order to get it to unlock. So if you're like super needy, then you pay $25 or $50 or $100.
Did you say if you're super needy?
Seriously. I mean,
is that every app, or is that just, I mean, I thought Tinder or whatever.
That's a good chunk of them. A good chunk of them are that way. Or if you want to be able to like narrow down your search preferences, for example, like I only want to find this person.
Yeah, like filters.
This, you know, so many miles from where I live with the same kind of preferences. You have to pay for filters? Yeah, you have to pay for filters.
Yeah. Otherwise, you could be matching with someone who's 67 years old. We're seeing somebody in your things that are 67 years old,
maybe you're into that,
19 years old, and you're like, I'm 48. I'm just trying to get down a little bit.
Don't hate on somebody for having a GILF complex. You know what I mean?
I'm just saying some people have like specific preferences, or they're like, I'm an adult. I don't want to see children. Like, even though they're above 18, I don't want to see people that are like under 25 because that's children.
Amanda, I have kids and I would be the same way. I get that concept. Yeah. You know, you don't want to do it again. I already did this.
But I've been out of the apps for a long minute, so I didn't know that there was like all this charging.
I didn't think there was charging. Are you sure there's charging?
There's charging.
For Tinder?
He's got a friend who's paying for all the extra shit for it to work. Maybe just for it to work.
Maybe your friend should fine tune himself. You know what I mean?
Then possible. Very possible.
Then he wouldn't have to pay all this money for all of this. So
maybe spend the money on a therapist instead of on the dating apps.
Very possibly. So nobody really just goes to a bar and meets people anymore. It's basically online.
That's how you go home and sleep with somebody. The literal last place I would ever, if I were single, would want to meet somebody is the bar.
Hang on. How is the bar more gross than on an app?
Especially when you don't even know if the profile on the app is actually an actual person.
Yeah.
That's true.
That's at least but they can still, see that's you.
It's icky because you just know what you're getting into. At least there's a glimmer of hope with an app, I guess.
That's all icky.
There's no chance. If you're at a bar and someone tries to pick you up, like they're only interested in one thing. So I guess it depends on what you're looking for. Some people are only looking for that.
Has COVID, post-COVID, I mean, you know, people basically stopped being near other people for a long period of time, and I feel like it's still carrying over. Did that hurt dating even further, or was it already kind of going that way?
I think there was a dip, right? I feel connection was lost during, you know, COVID.
Sure, for sure.
You know, 2020, 2021. You know, I think today, you know, you're seeing more people out and about. I mean, I work in downtown Chicago, West Loop area. The West Loop is bustling Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday nights after work. So there's a lot of after work hang, I think, that goes on.
So people meet people there, that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Like you're going for happy hour and you're hanging out from 4 to 6 or 4 to 7 or whatever specials, you know, at the bar kind of thing. And you're just meeting people when you're just hanging out because there's so many businesses conglomerated in one place. You know, you're not necessarily dating people from your office or your department, but you're dating people from other companies that are in the neighborhood.
They should do some kind of connection with VRBO and Tinder. It's basically like a marriage trial plan, right? Like, so you can rent an adjoining room at a place that matches you. And then you can see if you would work as a married couple because you'd be, you know, in the same building real close.
A hotel?
Or that. This is, yeah, essentially.
But you're going to be able to tell if you're going to be a married couple in one night?
No, it's like you rent an apartment.
This seems extreme.
You rent an apartment. They're adjoined, right? And then you can see if you guys can coexist in the same general area, but you still have separate areas.
Let me just put this out there. It does. Yeah. Let me just put this out there. Do you think if you knew all of your, for either of you, your wife's tendencies and habits that drive you nuts now, if you knew all of them day one before you could even fall in love with them, do you think that you'd be like, yeah, this is for me? Because I think we all just have to, like,
Amanda,
do I love you enough to accept that you're annoying?
Amanda.
Or you do stuff I don't like.
Number one, not looking to get divorced today.
Okay. number two.
Good answer.
Good number answer. Two, yeah. I've been with Aaron for 12 years and I still like him. So
see, I would never, I'm smart enough to not answer that question. He was annoying
from the first time I met him, yeah. But I still like him.
Yeah. See, but we're both smart enough to avoid answering that question. There's no reason. I don't know why you're trying to cause
theoretically
fights.
For other people.
No,
okay.
No, you're trying to cause divorces. I understand what happened. You're like, you're just getting in there and be like, see if I can mess them up. Would I advocate to others to get married? No, I think you could, you know, live your best life without a marriage, but that has nothing to do with me. It's not me. I'm just saying in general, the concept
for other people.
I'm just saying I'm a very independent person. I totally, if I wouldn't have been married, I would have been just fine. That's all I'm saying.
And you still would have had two kids.
Yeah. I didn't need to get married for those. Do not play by those rules, sir. Do not.
Jesus is watching you.
That's probably too personal, but
nah. I doubt he stopped. Well, he'd think he stopped watching me a long time ago if he is. He's like, I can't anymore. There's no Hail Marys left. All right. So back on topic.
I just think people are raised differently today is the challenge, right? It's certain generations are raised a certain way. You move along as you change points of view. You know, a very religious culture in the boomer into Gen X, and we're not so much in religious anymore. So I think a lot of times marriage is rooted in religion and maybe sometimes benefits and things of that nature. Today, there's like all kinds of different options for benefits. So you don't need to be married in order to have benefits. So I think it's just people want to just have a good life and have fun, and they don't want to get married. They don't want to get married.
Look, I think if you are not, and I'm an advocate of that. I think if you're comfortable where you are and you want the ability to just pick up and go and not have to deal with, you know, the financial recourse of a divorce and those sorts of, that makes sense to me. It makes total sense to me. I don't think it's an old concept in my mind. I'm very, very happy that we've gone the route that we've gone where people are actually independent. And, you know, for most of my younger life, right, guys could sleep around and they were just saying, oh, what a stud. But if a woman did it, she was seen otherwise, right? Now I think it's much more even in that respect. Like, hey, people just do that. I don't think people look down on people, but they might look down on everybody that sleeps around, but it's not like one sex. And I think that's a good place to be, because live your best life. You're making your
choices.
We've
just accepted that anybody
yeah.
can do it.
Mm-hmm. Don't get me wrong. I mean, be smart, be safe. And I wouldn't advocate to doing that a lot because there are repercussions. I don't care what sex you are. You know, I don't think that should matter. And I'm glad we're at a place where it doesn't. People are more independent and they are being wiser about not getting married just because their parents thought they should. Is that a lack of romance or is that more of a modernized concept?
It's totally a modernized concept. I think as people move along and as people evolve, different thoughts and different I mean, even me, right, who grew up, you know, very religious for a long period of time, I would say that I've moved away from institutional religion to more of a spiritual thought. You know, there's not like we spend so much time telling people like this is wrong, this is inaccurate, this way is the only way. I think we've evolved to a spot of saying, I can understand your point of view. Thank you for sharing your information with me. I can meet you halfway on your viewpoints. Yeah, I think as the world goes on, we get to that point and some of that point is how traditional relationships work, and we're mm-hmm. just not in a traditional relationship environment anymore.
So there's a couple of components. One, women were sort of locked in to marriage for a lot of reasons. Money, being allowed to have a bank account, not being able to make all of your own medical decisions. Mm. And so then the generation after that saw that and said, well, no, I want my rights. I want my freedoms. And then you continue. And as that evolves and you do see more independency for women, then what you saw was, you know, high peaks of divorce rates because people weren't obligated either internally or externally to stay. So then you have the generations
or they didn't have the tools and capacity to figure out how to stay.
Or that, yeah, that too.
Yeah.
And so then when you start to see all those divorce increases, families seeing that or people sticking around, you know, too long, honestly, can actually have the same effect if they're fighting all the time. But that starts to then have an impact where it's like, I don't want to get married and then end up divorced like my parents did. Mm-hmm. I'm only going to get married if I know for certain, or it's not, I don't want to take that risk. I'll spend my life with someone, but I'm not going to engage in the traditions for that. And that's where I think how the progression has occurred and why we're in the position we're in, it makes sense. But what I think we're going to inevitably see as we go forward, and this, sorry, this has just turned into like a sociology podcast.
We'll get back on movies here in a minute.
I mean, it's related. It's sure. So connected. What you're going to see next then is all of these people that have been disconnected, COVID disconnects, and then we're getting into a position now where people are super uncommittal, and that's going to create a lot of distrust, and people are going to eventually get over that and want to rekindle the traditions. It's just like a roller coaster and a wave. So then you're going to have people who are wanting more of that and to have unity for families or, you know, for themselves or whatever, especially as more people come into the gender that they identify with and start wanting to build families, you know, in other, you know, in their ways as well. It's gonna look different, but it's going to still go back to the way it was before because it just ebbs and flows. So what I'm getting to is we'll always have an appeal to a generation, regardless of the type of rom-com story you're telling.
It'll just be people a different variation want. Of what mm-hmm. rom-com is. So it's not like a Western. You don't think they're going away in that respect. It's just they're going to morph.
I think it's different styles. It's going to morph. The rom-coms of today aren't going to be the, oh, I'm going to love you forever, La La Land type, you know, that everlasting love that's always going to be there, even though you end up with different people. Like that doesn't happen today.
Do you know what one aspect of rom-coms that have always bothered me? Always, my whole life. Really, really just bothered me. Weddings. Weddings in romantic comedies. They're always big, lavish events. They kind of put into people, men and women, into the mindset that they should have to spend a fortune to get married, which I've never understood. Because, you know, I've never understood this. Like, the whole idea of spending that much money for one freaking day boggles my mind. And it seems to me like you're hitting the ground behind by doing that. It just feels like the worst advertisement for life possible.
Every woman though thinks about that and it, but, and the lavishness that you'd want.
That's a problem.
Yeah. No, I get it. But also they're so pretty.
Oh my God.
They're so pretty and fun.
I've never understood the concept of, so you'd rather spend what it would take for a nice down payment on a house to have.
Yeah, no, one they day. Definitely get too extreme, obviously. They're going to go very dramatized in a rom-com. So
in general, in real world, yeah. Like, you know, but granted, I'm on the other extreme. I'm like, Golden Corral, good, you know. So I get.
We all know the story. You got married in your house. So
I did. I
got you don't have house. A say in this.
Cost me $30. Yep. Best decision. Cheap, cheap, cheap.
And honestly, it's what was you. You know, it's what was that relationship. No one should judge it.
I'm pretty sure she was kidnapped and drugged. But yeah, that was me. Yes.
For the record, that's a joke.
Do I got to clarify that? Oh, sorry.
You might want to. I think it's funny.
Okay. I was just sharing that. It was just something that always bugged me whenever I watch something romantic comedy. The weddings and putting that in people's heads and thinking, this is the dream. This is the magic of romance. That has nothing to do with romance. That has nothing to do with love. That is all vanity, right?
But it's pretty.
Things, possessions, no different than I have to own a bunch of stuff. It's no different. It's just vain. That isn't romance to me. That's not chivalry. It's not romance. It has nothing to do with a romantic comedy, but they're in so many of them. So what about this? Okay. Should the idea of romance go away since we've changed so much?
Never.
Okay,
but I don't even like this question.
Well, it doesn't sound like people are doing anything romantic. I mean, Troy told me chivalry's dead. No. Troy said people don't open doors anymore. Troy's like, nah, guys suck. They just gave up.
Yeah.
And they can work both ways. Let's be equal. All right. But you can open my door too, goddammit. I'm fine with it.
I open doors. I do that. I just don't see a lot of people, other people doing it.
The thing is, romance will always be there. We are humans. We are meant to connect with one another. Whether how that changes and evolves, that's a completely separate perspective from just the idea that romance should just go away because we've changed, or some generations and individuals have changed. It just needs to transition because there's still that innate piece of humans that are attracted physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, whatever, to other people. Mm-hmm. So romance is never going to go away. And I don't think...
It's the style of romance that's different.
Exactly. And honestly, Hallmark is still doing all these movies for a reason. People are watching them on regular television.
Yeah, at home, on their couch alone.
So lonely people exist forever, Aaron.
But what I'm saying is that to me tells me, and I didn't mean that as a slight, if you were somebody that likes those movies, I'm saying that what that tells me is that there are people that are home and they're lonely. And there is, they miss having romance in their lives for some reason. They want mm-hmm. that in their life. But so why isn't this a much more successful venture in the movie theaters? And like, why is this a dying genre right now? Like, what's the reason?
Some people find it cheesy. Mm-hmm. Like one person could be like, oh, thanks so much for doing the candles and the rose petals and being all like, ooh, gooey, gooey, you know? And then other people are going to be like, that is the dumbest thing ever. You saw that in a movie. Like, can you be original? Come on.
Well, and that's the thing is that rom-coms have gotten so
stale.
Stereotypical.
Stale. Yes. It's just the same recycled plot points. And, you know, here's your issue that you've got to overcome. And, oh, no, something bad happened. Will you repair the relationship? But then you have things like nobody likes us. Oh my gosh, why can't I remember the name of the show?
Nobody wants this.
Thank you. Nobody can say this. But then you have something like that where it's not about it. Like there's messiness. It's more real and authentic and people can connect with it. And that was a huge hit. And that's a TV show. Mm-hmm. That's a rom-com TV show that did so good. Because it changed in its way. It no longer was like, okay, everything's a perfect fairy tale. And it wasn't the same particular, you know, issues to overcome. It was something more genuine. It was something that was relatable and more adult, I guess. A lot of rom-coms feel very like childish in some ways because of the drama.
Well, oh my God, so many of them. Remember, and some of them so ridiculous plots. What is it? My Best Friend's Wedding, where she's just willing.
Yeah,
that one's messed up. I mean, there's a lot of them that are
while you were sleeping.
While you were sleeping, yeah, that's called assault. That was the the other one with Sandra Bullock, where Ryan Reynolds and they go to Alaska or whatever. She's
the proposal.
She's like the boss or something. Yeah.
I like that movie.
That one's
but
cute.
She's basically like, come with me or you're going to get fired. Well, that's
No, it's wild. It's absolutely wild.
It's messed up is what it is. The only cool part is Betty White's there to even things out. And somehow they end up together. And I'm like, why? There's so many of these movies where I'm just watching going, why? Why do you want to be with the other person is so much better? Because there's always another person. And there's so many people that are just like, I had a fling and then I found real romance there. Oh, that's never going to work out, right? Odds are it's not.
I mean, it has for some people, that's for sure. But you have to have a base of friendship. That's the key thing.
What is the worst, not the worst, what is the cliche in romantic comedies that annoys you guys the most? Can you think of like what is the one where as soon as it hits, you're like, I'm out.
Sorry, say that again.
The cliche, like you're watching a romantic comedy and something happens, and it happens often in these kinds of movies that just you just can't stand it.
Like the somebody drops something and they go to pick it up at the same time and they bump and then they kiss. Like that annoys me.
That annoys you?
Yeah.
Mine is the love triangle, the cheating. The Notebook is such a beautiful and cute and sweet and adorable movie in so many ways. And then they have that moment where she's, you know, getting ready to get married to this other guy. And here comes Ryan Gosling waddling his way back into her life. And that was a duck joke. Did you get it?
Yeah, I got it. Yeah.
Okay. Quack, quack.
But boy, is it always Ryan Gosling. That was cute. Ryan Gosling, Crazy Stupid Love, Ryan Gosling, yeah. The Fall Guy, Ryan Gosling and Barbie. Because he's adorable. Ryan Gosling and La La Land.
I really don't know why you need an answer to this question when it's already right in front of you.
He's adorable. Yeah, exactly.
Because he's just Ken. That's why.
But that was a huge, to me, it took me completely out of the movie. The fact that she's like, yeah, I'm just going to cheat on him, whatever. It is what it is. I'm so glad you came back in my life. Like, what are we doing here? Be good people for a second. Like, that's not what we should aspire to have, is what I guess
people
I'm saying.
People are messy, though. I like when they're genuine and they're original. Like, that's what happens. That's
but I just
happens.
Don't feel like I can get behind it's the ultimate love story if it's like, well, you just kind of forgot about that guy. You just fucked over real bad right there. Literally just, and he's a military man. You're just going to disservice him like that?
I don't feel like that's a good phrasing right there. That just felt wrong.
I don't
disservice
know.
Disservice him. What? Let's be honest. Most romantic comedies, especially the ones we love, are very uncomfortable. If you really like lay them out and look at them from a practical standpoint. I mean, we talked about in the past, Love Actually, that the guy that shows up with the cards and she's there, you know, the fact that she doesn't call him or the police immediately is a big sign that something's wrong with that movie. It makes no sense. Like there's a lot of concepts like that in romantic comedies that are just kind of messed up. And that's why I was kind of curious. Like, what are the cliches that really, really bother you?
Like going home with the bridesmaid or the groomsman. That cliche is dumb to me.
Oh,
too.
Like the friend. Oh, they hooked up with
the friend.
They
hooked up at the wedding. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, except Wedding Crashers, because that movie's amazing.
That's the point of the movie. Yeah.
Mom,
yeah.
Meatloaf!
Oh, it's so funny.
My favorite is the, not literally, but the character changing, you know, the, like she's all that, where she's got a pair of glasses on. Oh my God, she's so dorky and ugly. Takes her glasses off. Holy crap, she's smoking hot. That kind of thing. I hate that one. It drives me nuts. And I also don't like when people fight all the time and then suddenly they find out that they really are meant to be. No, it's probably going to be a toxic relationship if we're really being honest. We've come far enough along to where we should really recognize that and walk away if we can.
Fair enough. No arguments here.
I also don't like when people sing their love. I just think that's weird.
Sing their love?
You know, like 10 things I love about you, stuff like that.
Oh, that's such a cute moment. But it's really weird.
It's kind of weird. Just think about if it was real. Okay? Mm-hmm. You're actually, let's just say you're out at a concert and somebody stands up and just starts singing to you in front of a crowd of 10,000 people. Maybe you'll love it.
I love you, baby.
Or maybe you think it's weird. You know, your call. Your call.
I've sang so much on this episode.
So what would you like to say would revitalize the genre? Like really get, what would get you back to a theater to see a rom-com? What's it going to take? More Sydney Sweeney and Glenn Powell?
Like part of me is like annoyed that I watched that movie. Because I typically do not like the rom-com genre.
But they're like, sexy and funny. They worked together.
Yeah. I mean, Glenn was having a resurgence in his, or not resurgence, but like coming up in his career. He had a good year. And I was like, I want to see what Glenn does in this. It's a different thing that he hadn't done yet.
And Sydney Sweeney is really blown up too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love rom-coms. So I'll still go see him.
Do you remember the last one you actually went to the theater to see though?
I can't even remember the last time I went to a theater, period.
Ouch.
I think it was Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
Are you serious?
Oh, no. I saw the Jennifer Lawrence one where she dates the people pair to date their son.
Dude, you're out.
Funny. That was a fun. See, that was, I don't know if I call that a rom-com, but it's very funny.
But they end up like caring about each other in the end.
They're friends.
You know? Yeah.
That's not a rom-com. That's a friend-com. It's not like she's out of my league. It's not like they ended up
I thought
up
we just
together.
Talked about the fact that we could be friends with benefits and all that stuff like 20 minutes ago.
Yeah, but he didn't want to have benefits, which is stupid, because honestly, come on. That just made no sense. But
I mean, she took a punch for you, dude. Come on.
That was what? No Hard Feelings. That's the one, right?
No Hard Feelings. Yeah. Yeah.
That was a funny movie. So there are still a few out there. Okay. Well, I just thought it would be an interesting topic. I'm just very curious because I don't hear about this anymore. It used to be these were everywhere. Now, apparently, they're just the Hallmark Channel and bad Netflix ones. And I don't think the Netflix ones, except maybe Lindsay Lohan, are very good.
Yeah, I did kind of like hers.
I saw the Emilia Clarke one in the theater.
Oh, based on George Michael and the Wham song. My God, shame on us.
That's, me before
last,
you.
Last Christmas.
Oh, the other one, both. Sorry.
Both of them are very good.
Yeah, those are both really good movies.
Yeah, Emilia Clarke should have been doing more of those. She could have been the modern Meg Ryan.
She's amazing.
She's great. All right. Well, we can move on from this topic, unless there's anything more you want to say about the romantic comedy and scene. So let's go to some spoiler-free reviews. We've got, I'll insert these later, and now some upcoming attractions. So what's coming out next?
On Valentine's Day, a day of love, we have Captain America, Brave New World. Marvel is back to warm our hearts, and this time Sam Wilson, the new Captain America, finds himself in the middle of an international incident and must discover the motive behind a nefarious global plan. Harrison Ford is also here.
Are we excited about this one?
Yeah. Why wouldn't we be?
I don't know.
We're going to give it a go.
Okay.
Remember, Marvel's back. Marvel Jesus saved the world.
That's what they're saying. Marvel Jesus saved the world. I'm very excited to see Sam pick up the shield. And actually, I mean, I saw Falcon and the Winter Soldier, but that's different. Like, this is his first actual Captain America movie. So I'm pretty excited. I like Anthony Mackie a lot. I hope this is really good. Also, February 14th, Verona's Romeo and Juliet. It's based on the real story that inspired Shakespeare's Romeo and Juliet, following the greatest love story of all time, set as an original pop musical. Because why not?
I feel like there was already a musical done. Wasn't that the Claire Danes, Leonardo DiCaprio version?
There was music. I wouldn't call it a musical.
Okay. I mean, don't watch any of that stuff. What you want to do is sit at home and watch the epic conclusion, the third part of a sixth season that's going to bring it all to a head for Miyagi-Do and Cobra Kai, as they're going to reckon with their past, facing an uncertain future for both of them on the mat. 40 years after the events of the original All Valley Karate Tournament, it's all leading up to this, and eventually a movie in May.
Are you love Cobra Kai. We all love Cobra Kai, right? You're the only one, I think, that has caught up, because I was waiting till this drops.
Mm-hmm.
Are you excited for the last five episodes?
Okay. Because I know what happens at the end of part two of the sixth season, and I was kind of like, where's part three?
That's why
part one was kind of like, eh. Part one was, eh. Okay. Part two is good, though. Part two is good.
Okay, so it left you jazzed up. You're ready for the final five episodes.
I am so ready.
And you guys all agree it is time to end this?
It's the perfect time to 100%. Bring it to a conclusion, yes.
Okay, all right. Now what we're going to do to end the show is we're going to ruin a rom-com. That's right. We had an interesting, insightful, philosophical conversation about romantic comedies and love in general and how people just swipe left or swipe right, and boy, how rude is that? Now we're going to ruin a rom-com. So each of us get to take a famous line from any romantic comedy and explain why it's actually creepy or awkward or just hasn't aged well. Fair enough?
Fair enough.
Okay, so we're going to start ruining a rom-com. I'm going to start, and again, it's picking a famous line from any romantic comedy and explain why it's creepy or awkward or just didn't age well. Mine is from Jerry Maguire, and it's "You Complete Me." Now, if you watch the movie, it's at the end, and he and Renee Zellweger, he's trying to explain to her, like, she's really such an important part of his life, and it's a very moving moment, right? It's a very deep moment. I hate it. I'm a very independent person who feels that people should be very comfortable in their own skin, so every time I see it, I just feel like, what do you mean she can be a compliment to you? That's how people should be, and that goes for either side of the fence, men, women, whatever. You should compliment each other. Another person should never complete you. I just am a firm believer in that. You should be comfortable in your own skin. Whoever you're with, you should love them. You should be with them and support them. And da, 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 da. But if they were to go away, if they were to choose to not be with you, the idea of you completely complete me feels like that's just setting yourself up for devastation. Because if they leave or they choose to go somewhere else, then you're left empty. I'm not going to feel that way. I'm complete. That's how I think people should be. I think you should feel complete with your own skin, with your own sense of self and agency. And the other person is always a compliment. That's how I see things. So I find that line very problematic from a psychological standpoint. Very unhealthy to me.
Aaron, for healthy relationships in 2025, look at you go.
I don't think you're wrong.
Oh, oof. Thought for sure you guys would hate that. Good. Good. Because it's always bugged me. Always.
Because mine's kind of in the same boat.
Okay. Let's go. Let's roll.
I mean, the whole thing is called 10 Things I Hate About You.
Mm-hmm.
And then she gets towards, you know, and then she gets towards the end and Kat's like, you know, I hate the way you talk to me and I hate the way you cut your hair and I hate the way you drive my car and I hate the way you stare. And she's going on and on and on and on and on. And then she has like the line right before she starts to cry. She says, I hate it when you're not around and the fact that you didn't call. And it's like, it just feels needy to me.
Yeah, that's a stage five clinger for sure.
It feels codependent. It feels like all the other stuff I can kind of get behind and like, oh yeah, like I really miss when you do these things, you know, but the fact that I can't live without you, that part goes, time out.
Yep. That scares me when I've dated people like that. And don't get me wrong. I'm sure it can be a wonderful relationship. It's scary. That's a warning sign. That's a flag. That's concerning. I can't live without you. Plus you named all the things you hate about me. Like you hate a whole bunch of stuff about me, but I hate when you're gone. Well, yeah, but you hate when I'm here too. Apparently you hate riding in my car. You hate everything about me.
That's the part that I lean into.
Plus there was that whole, like, I hate the way you're always right, but I hate it when you lie. It's like, well, which one is it? I'm confused.
That's funny.
All right. Well, mine is from Hitch.
Okay.
Oh.
And
that slaps.
I mean, to be honest, that slaps.
Did you just say that?
Sorry.
He did.
You are not allowed to say that ever again.
Sorry.
So in this movie, Hitch is already someone who's basically training and teaching men how to lie to women to get what they want out of the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's already pretty icky. And when he's trying to, I guess, coach, if you will, he says, any man, any time, has the chance to sweep a woman off her feet. He just needs the right broom. It's meant to be like inspiring and like, oh, you can do it, whatever. It's so sweet. No, first of all, that is not how this works. It basically makes it sound like there's just, I don't know, like women are just this tool. We can lie and manipulate to them. And we'll get what we need. He's just basically saying if you use these certain lines or say these certain things or do these certain things, you'll be guaranteed to pick up a woman. And it's like, that's icky to me. I don't like that at all.
Right. You know, the answer is always just tell them they're ugly, right?
Do not try to highlight negging.
I'm just kidding because it drives Amanda nuts. No, you're absolutely right. That whole movie is very problematic, and that's a terrible. I think Eva Mendes is actually pretty good in it, but so is Will Smith, honestly. But yeah. It's very. I don't like the line. I don't like the concept. Even though he learns his lesson, does he? I mean, he spent a lot of time being okay with it. I don't know if he's just gonna snap out of it. Yeah, no, that's very problematic.
Yeah, his morals kicked in because of one woman.
Oh, sure. You know, she's the one, though, right?
The only.
Yep. She's totally going to give birth to a kid that wears a house on his head. Sorry.
That's Aaron at thehollywoodoutsider.com.
Sorry.
He's not wrong.
Sorry. But it does. The whole idea of just needs the right room. Number one, it's bad writing. That's a dumb line. The concept being, if you have the right words, if you massage them so... to really speak to the woman. So basically you're not, it's kind of a catch-22 though, because people will often not be interested unless you say the things that are appealing to them. Like they won't give you a chance. So there is kind of
it just feels like very sales pitchy. You know what I mean? Like I'm teaching you how to be a car salesman.
Isn't that what dating is though? Like I don't think it should be, but it often is. Everybody kind of, two people meet, they kind of fake it until they get comfortable. Isn't that kind of how it works?
No, you're going to see the crazy after a couple weeks.
Two people are going to meet. You're going to talk about the weather. You're going to be like, oh, what are you into? What are you into? Oh, that's funny. I'm into that too. And then you're going to try to find things that match and ignore the things that are the red flags. You're going to get 6 months in and then you're going to be like, ew, there's the red flag.
See, that's especially like, you know, the older you get. I honestly think if I were to date in today's environment, a red flag, I'd get up and leave dinner. I wouldn't even finish the meal at this point. I'm just like, nope, I'm out. Sorry, I don't want to waste either of our time. I'm trucking it to death. I don't have time to waste on a red flag. I'm sorry.
Not a single one.
The wait staff comes up to you at dinner and hands you the dessert menu and literally answers a note, stage 5 clinger. Because the wait staff could pick up on it too.
Call 911. Something. I mean, I honestly believe I would just get up and go. I would just take that as an indication. This is not going to work. It's very nice to meet you. Have a wonderful time. I mean nothing rude. Maybe I'd be nice and walk them out, but then I would get the hell out of there. Like, I think that would be very important in today's environment. Don't waste your time. There's my love advice. Believe in yourself, find your own agency, and don't waste your time. As soon as you get a red flag, who do you owe? You don't owe anybody a second chance.
It's a true statement.
That's how we're going to end this. All right. Thanks.
Aaron's also going to die alone, but, you know, it's fine.
Don't say that.
I'm comfortable with it. I would not, but I'm comfortable with it. I am who I am.
I'll still be with you, buddy, at the end. Watching your body burn in a campfire.
What the hell?
Jesus, this way dark.
Why did you do this? Is a Valentine's Day love episode. I didn't know
Friday the 13th is a rom-com.
I am going to love Aaron enough that I'm not going to pay exorbitant amounts of money, just like his wedding, to make sure he dies in a peaceful way.
Jesus. This
was so extreme.
I'm actually okay with that. Yeah. I'll be dead. It's fine. Don't waste money.
Yeah.
That's a whole other topic. Let's talk about cemeteries. Why are we just sticking a bunch of people under the ground? That's a lot of real estate we could use for homeless shelters and things like that. Don't get it.
Just burn the bodies in your backyard. Call it a day.
Don't get it. Go to burn them in Troy's yard, not mine. All right, that's going to do it for this episode. Thanks for listening. I don't have a yard.
Take them to a dumpster.
I don't think we should be recommending romantic comedies.
This is all
anyone.
Illegal. Don't do this.
This is. It doesn't sound legal at all. No, it does not.
You can definitely cannot do that.
This is how we bring rom-coms back.
Weekend at Bernie's?
Yeah, how much do you love your person and how far would you go in their death?
I think that the police would look at you trying to get rid of evidence. I don't know if that's really trying to respect anybody's wishes. Uh-huh.
That's the magic twist. And then you end up falling in love with a cop or something. I don't know.
That's the magic answer. What would you do after I died? I don't know. Date, get a real estate agent, move, have a great life. Live my best. I'm answering all the wrong answers. All right, I gotta go. Remember, the next time you head to a theater or stream comfortably on your couch, watch your romantic comedies. Huh? Buy popcorn. We should never give romantic advice ever again.
You specifically.
Why is mine bad? Before I move on to reviews, I want to talk to you about Better Man, because you can bring Better Man home right now on digital. And you can experience the recovery and redemption of pop star Robbie Williams in the most original musical ever made. Yes, this is the one where Robbie Williams is a chimp. From Michael Gracie, the visionary director of The Greatest Showman, one of my favorite movies of the last 10 years. You can prepare to be entertained with the Oscar-nominated story critics are calling jaw-dropping and wildly inventive. Everyone I know that's actually seen this movie loves this movie. Take a chance. It's worth the chance. Absolutely. Includes over 45 minutes of show-stopping bonus features available at participating retailers right now. You can buy or rent Better Man on Fandango at Home right now. It's rated R from Paramount Pictures. And again, I've heard nothing but great things. I've watched the movie. I was shocked because I don't really know Robbie Williams' music, and it doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. It's just it's a great film, and it's really entertaining. So give it a chance. It's available now, and I'm going to give you a chance to win several copies of Better Man. If you email contests@thehollywoodoutsider.com, subject line, I'm a better person, with your name in the context of the email, we will put this in a collection to draw a winner, and we will inform the winners directly. So there you go. contests@thehollywoodoutsider.com, and you get a chance to win Better Man. But don't wait for a contest. Go check it out. It's a really entertaining movie. I want more people to see this kind of movie because it's fun. It's absolutely fun. All right, the main episode is over, so now it's just a couple reviews, and I'll try to be quick. It's just me for these because Amanda nor Troy have seen either one. So it's just me, man. It's just me. And I'm going to start with the one I like least, which really bums me out. And that's Love Hurts, because it stars everybody's favorite Goonie, Ki Hae Kwon, as Marvin Gable, a real estate agent who loves his job, selling dreams to new homeowners and he's got a boss who happens to be a fellow Goonie in Sean Astin, who really appreciates him, and they have a real kinship. It's almost like he's a brother. But the problem is, he already has a brother. He has another brother who's named Knuckles, played by Daniel Wu. He has another brother named Knuckles, played by Daniel Wu. And, you know, they've kind of become estranged because the deal was a long time ago, take out a hit and you can be free. You can go live your normal life. So Marvin took the out. Well, the out was to take out Rose, who's played by Ariana DeBose, a woman that it seems like Marvin has a few feelings for. So he doesn't actually take her out. He lets her go. Well, now she's back. And she's sending Valentine's Day cards to Marvin and Knuckles. So everybody knows that she's still alive, and they want Marvin to answer for it. So they have a bunch of thugs, basically led by Marshawn Lynch in particular, who is wonderful as the lead henchman. Then you have Mustafa Shakir as the Raven, who's basically a big ass-kicking poet. And you have all these people trying to come and get Marvin, but Marvin is a master martial artist. And if you didn't know this, most people don't know this, Ke-Hai Quan, while he wasn't acting, was actually doing action choreography. So he was doing a lot of stunt work. He is very good at this, and it shows on screen. He's definitely got the chops. And there's a lot of comedy in the film, a lot of comedic reactions and actions. I think Marshawn Lynch is really deserving of a bigger canvas. I think Ariana DeBose infuses a lot of character and nuance into her role. Like, she gives Rose a lot of character tics and makes her like her own character. Ke-Hai Quan is definitely capable of leading man. I think he does a great job with what he has. All of the actors do their best, right? They come, they bring their A game. I think they're doing everything they can to make this movie stand out. Unfortunately, the script is terrible. It really just is terrible. Now, I've tried to explain this to most people, I think, are getting it. But there are some people who are like, well, I don't know what you're talking about. The story is you fill in the blanks as you go. No, that's not my problem with it. The story feels like it's missing a good solid half hour of exposition, of understanding of story. It's just kind of like just jumping from one point to the next without really giving you a lot of insight or interest into the characters, really give you any depth. I mean, it's a very simple screenplay, and I'm not knocking it. I think there is a good movie in here. It's just it's gone. It's been edited to hell. I mean, the action is fun. It's a very thrilling movie when you're just focused on the action set pieces, and definitely Ke-Hai Quan kicks a lot of ass. And I will say he ranges from comedic to dramatic. He does a very good Clark Kent to Superman kind of vibe in terms of the difference in character when he's beating the smack out of people to when he's just trying to sell a house. I mean, it's completely polar opposite. It's wonderful. I think he deserves a better film than this. And Ariana DeBose, I mean, these are both Oscar winners. These two are Oscar winners. They deserve a better story than this. And I love just a ass-kicking revenge tale without much plot. Look, John Wick has very little plot. But they added pieces. They fluffed up the story. They made it more interesting. And I think they're trying to do a similar thing here where you don't really know what's what, and it's just about the ass-kicking. But you got to have a little bit more oomph. And the critical score and the audience score are all bad overall, which is sad because I think everybody's rooting for Ke-Hai Quan especially. I mean, Ariana DeBose as well, but Ke-Hai Quan is on a special kind of level because he was such an important kid actor for a lot of us around my age, right? Like he was part of my childhood. So when he came back and Everything Everywhere All at Once, we hadn't seen him in forever. We're just so excited that he's back. We love it. We're so excited. We're just pulling for him. And then he kind of gets screwed in this because it's his first big leading role and he deserves so much better. He just did. This is one where, as I explain it, Love Hurts is a heartbreaker for me. It really, really breaks my heart in some respects because I couldn't wait to see this. I was so excited for this film and it just kind of let me down. It's not a bad movie. It's not bad. It's just not as good as it could be. And the story really, really lets Ke-Hai Quan down. It really, really does. But again, nothing against him. Jonathan Asubio is the director, and It was written by Matthew Murray, Josh Stoddard, and Luke Passmore. Those are the people that should have elevated this project, kept it together, edited it a little more tightly, kept the pieces in place. Yeah. So there you go. If $10 is the full price of Mission, I give Love Hurts $5. I don't think it's terrible. I think it'll probably be something where if you're sitting around on a Saturday afternoon and you're flipping the streaming channels, can you flip streaming channels anymore? I don't, you know, however we do that now since we don't have cable anymore, and you see Love Hurts, you might watch part of it because fight scenes are fun. Marshawn Lynch is fun. It reminds me a lot of The Big Hit. Remember The Big Hit with Mark Wahlberg way back in the day? Same sensibilities, action, comedy. It's like, what is happening right now? A lot of that. Then lastly, before I get out of here, well, I should say Super Bowl, right? Kendrick Lamar looking right at the camera. Hey, Drake, smiling. Come on. Points. All right, now we're going to move on to Hard Eyes. So that stars Olivia Holt and Mason Gooding as two work associates. They've got solid chemistry, I would say, who keep falling into the typical rom-com tropes of love while also being hunted by a mass serial killer who has heart eyes in his his mask, and he savagely slaughters couples in different cities every Valentine's Day. Now, I was not interested in. I mean, I love slasher movies, so I'm going to go see it. I'm a sucker for a slasher movie. But the whole idea of what they're doing in this movie is they're taking rom-coms, and that's a part of the movie. And then they're taking a slasher movie. That's a part of the movie. So you have two genres, and I'm serious. Like, they are really trying to make a rom-com. The meet cute, the going to dinner, the I don't really like you, you know, she has an ex, they have a forced kiss, that sort of thing. And the cast really does well with it. I mean, Olivia Holt, if you ever saw Cruel Summer, I think she's a very talented actress, up and comer. And Mason Gooding does pretty well as well. He was in the recent Scream reboots. So this is a movie that is trying to have it both ways in many respects, because it is this romantic comedy, because it's funny. There's a lot of great jokes, a lot of clever humor. And then it's also a slasher movie because there is this massive killer on the run, just slaughtering people. Now, there's a mistake made because he only kills couples, this killer, and end up going after these two who aren't really a couple, but hey, maybe this will bring them together. You know what I mean? Maybe this will be the meet cute story that just changes the world in a lot of respects. I really enjoyed this movie. I had a very, very good time with it. There are a lot of elements of ridiculousness, okay? Because it's one of those slasher movies. It takes place in Seattle. Okay. I've been to Seattle many times, and I've never seen it this empty because they're running around the streets. No problem being attacked and stalked and everything else. No problem. They end up at a police station. There's like nobody there. There's three people working, and two of them are Jordana Brewster and Devon Sawa, which is fun. If you know those names, that's fun. But there's like nobody else working in the police station because you're probably going to see Hard Eyes attack the police station. I'm just saying. And then when they, you know, theoretically, if anyone escapes and gets out of the police station, they run, and a drive-in movie is right around the corner. This is, where the hell is this in Seattle? I mean, my God, I don't, you've got a movie taking place in Seattle and you don't really have any Seattle landmarks, and you have things that don't make sense. So this is also a slasher movie. Logic doesn't necessarily belong here, but I will say it still works. I mean, it really still works. Once you get to the point where you understand, okay, this is two genres completely merged together. Once you get to that point and you can accept it, it actually works really well. They do a very, very nice job of blending it. The director is Josh Rubin. If you don't know who he is, he did Werewolves Within, which I love that movie. I thought he did a great job with that one. That's a much better movie than this one. But if you love slasher movies and your significant other doesn't, but they like romantic comedies, this can work. It can work. It's really fun. I really enjoyed it. I was pleasantly surprised. This is one of the better slasher movies I've seen in recent years. I mean, taking out Scream, this really kind of fills that void. And I will tell you, this is very much a movie that is going to speak to the fans of fun slasher movies. And I know that's a weird thing to say because, I mean, they're horrible, right? It's horrible. You're killing people. But Scream is that same kind of franchise. And it's a, this is a movie that I find runs very, very similar to Scream. You know, the who did it isn't as exciting as it was in Scream, obviously, because that's iconic at this point. But it's really, you know, about the hack and slash and just watch the movie play out and how they work in these rom-com tropes all the way through. I mean, even when things are going horrible, they still work them in, and I think that's actually really fun. I really enjoyed it. If $10 is the full price of admission, I give Hard Eyes $7.50. You know, it's one of those where it's probably going to be on digital soon because there's Captain America and everything else coming out. I mean, it's not going to last long in theaters, but man, it was fun to see with people. My theater had a lot of people in it. It was a really fun time. People were hooting, hollering, screaming. It was fun. I heard there was a protest at, you know, online. This vocal minority that mad because Spyglass produced it. They also did Scream. They fired Melissa Barrera, all that. That's you do what your conscience tells you to do. I'm telling you, this is a fun movie. I'm telling you, it's worth a watch. So there you go. That's Hard Eyes. That's Love Hurts. That's our show. That's it. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Remember, the next time you head to a theater, buy popcorn.